Hello, my name is Chris, and I talk fast. If you were here last week, you're like, yes, you do. I'm working on it. Keep reminding me. And I'm also tall, you might have noticed, but I wasn't always really tall. As a kid, I was on the tall side of average all the way through sixth grade, but the summer of 1980 was monumental for me. I grew 7 inches in just a few months, and I was propelled to the top of the class, and I don't mean for my grades. It was during that time of my life that I picked up some new names. Adults and kids seemed to only notice one thing about me, that I was tall, and they felt free to call me new things. They called me a tall drink of water. They called me stilts. They called me Kareem, as in Abdul-Jabbar. They called me the green giant. They called me beanpole, and my personal not favorite, Sasquatch. I know, but don't get all sad on my behalf. I think I weathered it well. They weren't that hurtful, just annoying. And I was able to hold my head up and wear moccasins. Yes, moccasins in the 80s that kept your feet as flat as possible. And I carried on. But I think one of the greatest reasons for that was that I had another name that many people called me. I had a name that I was proud of. It was the name that my friends had given me in fourth grade. My name was Zim. They called me Zim. And if you know that my last name was Zimmerman, it's pretty easy to figure out why that became my nickname. And that was the name that I identified with from fourth grade until I graduated from high school. It was the name that people who bothered to know me called me. It was a name that told me that there was more to me than just being tall. It was the name that only I bore. I was the one and only Zim. The name that I heard from my closest friends, and still how I identify myself with my high school girlfriends when I contact them. Names matter. What about you? Just as I asked the kids this morning, what are some of the names that you've been called in your long or short life? Hopefully there's sweet names of endearment. The things that your parents call you or called you. Pumpkin or sweetie or buddy or puppy or marshmallow or whatever those things are. There's those things that your kids say or call you. So those of you that are grandparents, what name do you go by, grandparents? This is where you get to say something out loud. Grandma, Mimi? Grand Mary? Okay. Do we have any mormors or morfars or farmors or farfars or what all those Scandinavians love to use? How about nanas? Any nanas or bampas or bapas? There are those names. And boy, I think when you get to that place and someone calls you that, that means a lot. That's a good name to hold. There's the names that your romantic partner calls you. Does anyone want to share any of those? Honey. Harv. Your family calls you Harv. Yep. Our romantic partner, dear, babe, honey, love, something like that. There are those names that are endearing, those names that we feel proud of, but there are plenty of names that are not so sweet or kind. Things that someone called you at school, ugly or loser or geek or freak. The names that have been used by thoughtless family members who say, oh, you're lazy or foolish or controlling or unreasonable. Sometimes maybe you weren't called anything at all. Maybe you've been in a situation where someone didn't even bother to know your name. Or you see someone that you've met multiple times and they still don't remember your name. That is, by the way, the terror that I hold as I began here, that I will meet you and not remember from week to week. So I am asking for patience over time. Maybe you have worn labels in your life, something that someone else called you and it was out of your control. They said you were ADD or ADHD. You were anorexic, diabetic, autistic, handicapped. Or someone named you by something that was their opinion. She's a blank, or he's a blank. People get named by their social status. Oh, they're divorced, or widowed, or homeless, or unemployed. Even labels that we use that seem culturally positive, but do not speak about who we are. Oh, you're rich, or successful, or powerful, or smart. And it's just not that other people call us names. Sometimes we start to call ourselves things when we're frustrated, when we're sad, when we're struggling. Maybe when you look in the mirror, you look at yourself and say, oh, you're fat. You're old. You're undisciplined. You're stupid. And those kinds of names, those critical names, the mean ones, those are the ones that cause all kinds of trouble. Because what we are called seeps into who we think that we are. Being labeled or named or called something has an effect on our identity, on how we see ourselves. This is a psychological reality tied to our emotional health. It's a topic that fills podcasts and books and conferences. It's a conversation constantly had by parents and children and teachers and principals. It's a psychological reality, but it's also a spiritual reality. The things we're called influence our understanding of ourself at our deepest soul level. And listening to the voices of others and listening to the names that people call us threatens to destroy our understanding of who we really are. As followers of Jesus, our identity is found in what God says about us, what Jesus calls us. And we find this all throughout God's Word. Throughout the Bible, we find about how important names are. So the text from this morning is from Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus is with his disciples. And starting in verse 13, it says this: when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So here's Jesus with his disciples, and he stops to have a lesson. He stops to see what's going on. "What do people think about me?" He says. "What are they saying about me? What kind of names do they call me?" He clearly knows that people aren't sure about what to do with him. He knows that people are going to want to name him or label him to lock him in so that they can try to understand him, but they're struggling. So they're pulling names from out of the past, pulling names from out of the prophecies. Well, is he John? Is he Elijah? Is he Jeremiah? So Jesus knows this is happening, so then he asks those who are closest to him. And I can imagine he's kind of on his tiptoes thinking, oh, please, let these people at least know. Let my best friends know how to call me. So verse 15, he says, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" And Simon answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Whew. Whew. Jesus can relax a little. Simon understands Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus bears the name that no one else can and no one else ever will. It's Jesus, the one and only Messiah. And it's a name packed with meaning and hope and transformation. And Jesus praises Simon for understanding, for being able to see out beyond the outside who Jesus is. And Jesus says to him, verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." And then Jesus does something interesting. It's as if he decides to turn the question around. He says to them, "Who do you say I am?" And after Simon answers, I think he's wanting to say, "Hey, now ask me. Come on, Simon, ask me. Jesus, who do you say I am?" Matthew doesn't include this question, because maybe Jesus didn't even ask it. But maybe he just can't wait for Simon to ask because he's so excited to answer. "You know who I am?" So he begins and he turns to Simon and he says this: "I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Jesus then and there gives Simon a new name, a name that's going to define him for the rest of his life. His name is Peter. Simon, Jesus gives Simon this new name to say essentially, "Here's who I say you are. I'm going to call you something. I'm giving you a new identity." It all makes more sense if you could read it in Greek. What he says to Peter is, "You are Petros," this Greek word that means rock. "You are Petros. You are rock." And then he says, "And upon this Petra," which also means rock, it's the feminine form of rock, he says, "I'm going to build my church. You are the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." It's kind of lost when you say Peter and when you say rock. He says, you have this new name. I'm going to call you the Rock, Peter, because you're grounded. I'm going to give you this name because you do not need to be shaken or moved. Your foundation is in me because you know who I am. You know who I am, and now you know who you are. My identity, according to Jesus, my identity has everything to do with yours. And then he says to Peter, because I call you the Rock, upon this rock I'm going to build my church. He means the thing that Peter's just said, upon this declaration that you said. That's the foundation of what the church is going to be built on, that Jesus is the Messiah, the one and only, who brings hope and healing and transformation, who brings salvation, who brings new life. And upon this thing that you've said, Peter, and with the gifts that I've given you in this new name, I'm going to build a church. I'm going to blow this all up and start something new. So something new here happens to Peter. He has this new name, but then a new call and a new destiny greater than anything he could have imagined. And Peter, he lived into that name. He no longer listened to the names that others gave him. He became the leader of the early church. He was one who boldly followed Jesus, one who fell on his face and who made mistakes, but who got up again and again wearing that name that Jesus called him to the very end. Names matter. Throughout the Bible, God calls his beloved children by their names, and to some, they get new names. There's Abram and Sarai in the Old Testament, and God tweaks their names a little and calls them Abraham and Sarah. There's Jacob, who's born, and his parents name him the Deceiver. Is anyone's name here Jacob? It's still a lovely name because it follows in the footsteps of this person. But they name him Deceiver, and on his journey, God changes his name. What does he change his name to? Israel, which means one who struggles with God. He receives a new name. Others, God speaks their name, and God speaks the names that their parents had given them. But when they hear God speak their name, that's when everything changes. When Moses, for the first time, hears God say, Moses, things start to change. When Samuel hears God calling his name in the middle of the night and he thinks it's Eli, his boss, and he, is that right, Eli? Yeah, Eli, that's my nephew. So I'm so confused. My name is Chris and I talk fast and I lose my place a lot. Samuel hears God calling his name, doesn't even realize it's God, but once he does, everything starts to change. And then there's Mary, who shows up at the tomb to treat the body of Jesus, and she doesn't even recognize that he's there and alive until he speaks her name. Her name matters. And when they're able to hear God speak their names to them, they stop hearing all the things that everyone else says about them. They weed out the noise and the sounds and the labels and the callings. And they hear God call them, and they follow that voice and that new call into a destiny that was more than they could have ever imagined. Throughout the Bible, God does this, and God never stops. God continues to call his children by name, and when God calls your name, you're invited to listen to only that voice, the voice that tells you who you really are, the voice that calls you to a new life and opens up a new destiny. Names matter. And God names you as his own. Ask God the question, who do you say I am? And then listen. Tune your ears and focus your eyes and read through the Bible and find out who God says you are. One example from Isaiah 43. It starts like this. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob. He who formed you, Israel. Imagine reading this passage and putting your name in the blank. So here's the hardest task of the day. I'm going to count to three and say your name out loud. One, two, three. Well, I'm going to make it slightly harder. I would like you to say it louder like you know what it is. Ready? One, two, three. All right, so now I'm going to read this passage, and you're going to fill in the blank with your name. Here's how it goes. It says, now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, he who formed you. And then he goes on to say, do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Go read Isaiah 43 later today. Put your name in there and see what God says. I will be with you, and you are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. Your name is written in the pages of God's Word, and not only if you have a biblical name. All the names are in there because God is calling you His own. And when God speaks your name, God casts aside all the other labels and names that you have been called. Your name in God's speak includes your identity as a child of God, who is loved, who is never alone, who is precious and honored. Names matter. So today, on this Sunday, today's a naming day. And maybe there's somebody here for the very first time who has never heard God speak their name. And God is in the business of capturing our attention to tell us who we are, to tell us who we really are. And maybe today's the first time you say, I'm going to listen for that name. I want to hear who God says I am and weed out everything else that I've ever heard before. What a great day of celebration. But I suspect there's so many of you that have been listening for so long. You've been walking in this faith for a long time. You've heard these things. You know these passages. These are familiar. But maybe you've experienced how the other voices get to be so loud. The things that someone else calls you, the things that your social media tells you about yourself, the things that you say about yourself, and mostly what we receive are messages about ourselves that aren't good, that are how we don't measure up, how we're not enough. And so this is a naming day for you too, to say today's going to be the day that I'm going to listen for God's voice and put those other things aside, to weed out all those names and labels that have nothing to do with who you are. And everything else, everything to do with what someone else wants to make you be. Today is a naming day, a day to ask Jesus, who do you say that I am? And to listen for the answer, to read God's word for the answer, to cut out all that noise of other voices that say anything else but that you are loved, you're never alone, and you're a child of God. One more story. Victor Hugo was a French poet and writer in the 1800s, and he wrote two large and masterful novels with characters that were devastated by the names that others gave them. So in the novel, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, there's a character named Quasimodo who is labeled a monster, and it's devastating to his life. But then he wrote Les Miserables, forgive my French, literally. And it's this epic novel that weaves the history of the French Revolution with the story of one character. And maybe you've been brave enough to pick up that book and to read through, but if not, perhaps you've seen the musical, which is this beautiful portrayal of the story of Jean Valjean, a man who is put in prison for 5 years because he steals a loaf of bread to try to keep his sister's family from starving to death. And when he's put in prison, they take away his name and assign him a number, 24601. He's stripped of his name, and this is all that they call him. And even when he's released, the police inspector, Inspector Javert, refuses to call him anything but 24601. So Jean Valjean leaves prison, hoping to get his life back, but he's forced to carry a yellow piece of paper that names him as a thief and a criminal. And everywhere he goes, he carries this label, and he cannot find work or pay or a means to survive. But then one day he finds himself in the home of a priest who sees beyond the label that he carries, and he gives him a safe place to sleep and something to eat. And Jean Valjean is so surprised by this welcome that he receives, but he doesn't trust it. So in the night, he steals some silver from the priest's home, and he makes his escape. Soon after that, he's caught by the police, and it looks like he'll soon return to prison and back to wearing the number 24601. But the priest from whom he stole shows him this great mercy, and he tells the police, no, I gave that to him. In fact, here, take some more. And the priest blesses Jean Valjean and says, God has a greater plan for you. And so this man leaves, determined to live a new life. So he takes on a new name and becomes a new man, showing mercy and kindness to others, and eventually even to his very worst enemy. Names matter. You are not a number or a label. You're more than the sum of your worst actions or your greatest accomplishments. You cannot be defined by one word or one slur, one label, or any one person other than the God who made you, the God who loves you, and who calls you his own. God calls you by name. It's probably the name that your parents gave you, but maybe you've heard God speak a different name to you. But whatever it is, it holds in it a new life, a profound call, and a destiny beyond imagination. So wear that name. Bear that name. Look in the mirror and speak that name and listen for God's voice to speak it. Your name matters. Today is a naming day. But it's more than just our knowledge of knowing these things about how God names us. We apply these things. So here's some options this week of things to think about or do. This last week we celebrated the 4th of July. It was our celebration of our independence, and we're all about freedom. So grant yourself the freedom to get rid of all those names that you've called yourself or been called. Just say, I'm done with that. I declare independence from all of those things, anything that's anything other than who God says that you are. Make a commitment to fast from those names and feast on those that God calls you. Here's another thought. Just listen for God's voice. Sit down in prayer and quiet and say to God, who do you say that I am? Sit and listen. Sit and listen and open up your Bible and start reading. Who is it that you say that I am? Here's another option. Be careful of how you name others. Be aware this week of how you talk about other people or talk to other people, and be careful not to call them names or give them labels. And finally, please wear a name tag on Sunday mornings. If not just for my sake, as I'm hoping to learn your names and your faces, for other people, for those that are visiting, for others, or for those, maybe you've had this experience where you see someone you've known for 30 years and you draw a blank. Yes, the ones that are laughing are like, that happens. Who knows why? Let's start. I'm just going to say, can we just please wear name tags? If you have one of the permanent ones, bring it. If you don't, we have these really nice ones that you can write on it yourself as a reminder of how important our names are. And looking someone in the eye and knowing their name, or working on coming to know their name. Let us pray together. Lord, we're turning your question back around to you today. You asked Peter, you asked your disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter answered so emphatically, naming you, Jesus, as the one and only Messiah. You are the only one in whom we have hope. Hope of salvation, hope of real life, hope of peace and joy. And in you, we have our only hope of understanding who we really are. So we turn the question back to you, Jesus, and ask you this. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that each of us are? Help us, Lord, to hear your voice, to be able to declare freedom from those other names and labels and voices that try to speak to us and tell us anything other than what you say. Give those who need that this week the ability to shut that out and to hear you. Lord, we turn the question back on you and say, who do you say that I am? For those that need to just sit quietly and listen for you to speak to them, we pray that you'd provide that space and you'd speak loudly. You'd make it obvious of what you're saying. We turn the question back to you, Lord, and say to you, who do you say that I am? And then ask you to help us to be careful about what we say about and to others. Help us to not be name callers other than the good names that you give to those made in your image. And finally, Lord, help us to learn to know one another, to know each other's faces, and to know each other's names, because names matter. Thank you that you've called us, that you call us your own, and we know who you are. We know who we are because of you, who you are. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.